Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to finish up the what the world calls the Lord's Prayer. It is actually the outline for you and I on how to pray, and I hope that you have learned that. You may still have your sheet of paper. I apologize. I would have made some more copies this morning, but when I did the printed out the Constitution for the Sunday school class, I eliminated all of our paper, and so I didn't have any. But I will read this for you. You'll be just fine without the sheet. I hope that you have something that you can make some notes on. Because as we look at this, this prayer, this outline of a prayer, has been so sadly abused. It is probably something that more lost people repeat than maybe any other scripture verse that's present. And in doing that, I mean, they recite that in this manner, you know, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." We're done. That's all you need. Now, God saved you and me, and we need to realize that it's a personal relationship. So saying that, let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today. And you never want us to read your word in a casual manner. We are always to open your word and to focus upon it, being led by you, by your spirit in our hearts. Guide and lead us through it, Father, that we may learn and grow, become stronger each and every day. And this scripture, the verses I've just read, should never be recited in such a manner that there's so little thought given to it. It's something, Father, how the devil can take something so good and waste it. Father, we're here today to learn how to pray. We've all made ourselves all the way to the veil, all the way to the incense altar. We need your direction. We need your help now. Teach us how to pray. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, your life, your heart needs to be placed in each time that we pray. And it must be, it has to be something that is not performed on just a casual means. When we speak to a holy, righteous God, I heard it stated that you hear the term fear. We should fear God. Well, fear is not to tremble. But a believer, when they fear God, means with all the love in our heart, we fall to our knees every time we speak to a righteous God, because we hold him in such great reverence, and we want to speak to him, we want to worship with him, we want to know his will for our lives. And so it's not something, as we recite this, we don't want something that is a canned presentation. And that's what most people, when they recite this, that's all it is to them, is just a simple canned presentation. And so that's when I had the opportunity to speak many times in many different situations. And sometimes you have a list of items that you need to present, and you want to present it in a certain way. But if I do it once or if I do it 20 times, I never do it the same way twice. It's always just a little bit different. It has the same material. All the information gets to the people, but you apply it differently each time. And it should be the same way when we pray to our God. To begin with, if you do not know the Lord Jesus, the only prayer He's going to hear is, Father, please save me through Your Son Jesus. Please come into my heart and save me. Please, Father, I realize I'm a lost sinner. That's the only prayer that God is going to hear. You can pray all day, all week, all month, all year. And if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, your prayers go no further than any ear that hears it. You must be born again. You've got to go to the brazen altar, go to the cross of Calvary. Then comes the washing at the laver. Then comes the feeding in the Holy of Holies, where you're feeding upon the bread of life. You're growing. You're getting closer and closer. You're learning how righteous our God is. Do we understand that God is the creator of the world? That He spoke everything into existence, literally spoke it into existence? If you have any belief in evolution, you've been lied to. Because God has created what we have, and yet today in our schools, that lie is taught. Why is that lie taught? It's because we have developed a line of ungodly teachers, ungodly work. Yes, there's some godly ones there, and yet they're forced to teach these lies. So we need to understand who our God is. We need to understand how far that we have fallen, that we have no hope of talking to God, no hope of fellowshipping with God, no hope of eternity with Him, no hope at all if you don't come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. We must come to Him. So please, as this here, and I'll just do it again, because this is how I learned it. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. 99% of it were lost when we said that, but we all said it in reverence. We all said it in respect, and it meant nothing. It meant nothing. And that is so sad that that happens time after time. When you speak to God through prayer, are you selling something? You know, are you desiring that He helps you get something, so to speak, you're selling something? understand that you are talking with the Holy God that bought and paid for you by His precious blood. He deserves all of our honor and praise and glory. He respects our, He expects and should possess our worship. And so please, when we go through this now, understand it is never to be recited as I have read it twice now. It is for us to learn how to pray and how great that our God is. So we begin now, and we got down to the fifth petition. If you do have the list, and I'll just read it for you. If you don't have it with you, it's fine. Number one was Our Father, which is a personal relationship with God. Number two is which art in heaven. You believe by faith that that's where He is at today. Hallowed be Thy name. Holy be Thy name. Worship Him. Number four is Thy kingdom come. Expectation. We know that He is coming. Verse 5, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That means that we're going to submit to His will. We're going to discuss that one today. Give us this day our daily bread. That's a petition for your daily needs that we have. And the Word of God says daily there. We make plans so far ahead. Daily. Expect Him and fellowship with Him every day, but ask Him that He would meet your needs today. Today. Forgive us our debts, confession, as we forgive our debtors, having compassion on those that have wronged us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Dependence upon Him. And then number 10, for Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, acknowledging who He is. Now, that's the sheet that's there, and if you still have it, that's fine. I will maybe print some more next week there for you. But let's start back with number one there, just very quickly in review. Our Father, which art in heaven. God is in heaven. Through His Word, we realize that He's in His home. We looked up 2 Corinthians chapter 12 last week and John chapter 14, verse 2. God is omnipresent, and yet His home, He speaks of His home, which is in heaven. And so we've got number one and number two, Our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be Thy name. God is holy. God should be praised. His name is to be esteemed, and it is to be lifted up always, everywhere. You know, God's name, the name of the Lord Jesus, is so abused and so misused. And we need to just get on our knees and ask God to forgive the world for what they do and what they say. There is most horrible words when you speak the name of Jesus in vain. And you use it as a curse word. God is holy. God is just. God needs to be glorified, needs to be lifted up, not abused and misused. And all of us, everywhere we go today, those curse words are heard and used. And so we have, hallowed be Thy name, and then Thy kingdom come. Now that the kingdom there could be replaced with kingship or with reign. He comes to reign, and He will. Right now we're in the day of grace. We are in the church age. There are going to be 7 years of tribulation to come. And then He is going to come and destroy all evil and set His kingdom up. And yes, the devil during that 1,000 years will be bound, and yet it'll be identical to now. Everyone needs to be saved, born again through that period of time. But his kingdom, his reign will come. And that's what the Jews are looking for when we study this scripture here. They're looking for a king to come, that he sets his rule and reign up right here, right now, at that time. So 2,000 years ago, they were looking for a king. They weren't looking for a carpenter's son to be born in Bethlehem, even though the Word of God tells them so, and even though when the folks came to ask the king and the leaders in Jerusalem, where is the king of the Jews? They said, well, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. And yet not a one of them followed to check to see that was there and he was true. And so we find, too, the difference, and we spent this time last week, the kingdom of God. When you see that in the Word of God, that's speaking of the church. That's the speaking of the spiritual kingdom. There are many folks that are in other churches. There's folks that aren't even in church this morning that are believers in the Lord Jesus. They are part of the church. The Word of God says, do not forsake the assembling. And so they're wrong in not being in the house of God to hear the Word of God. There are, I believe, folks that are in some very liberal churches this morning that should not be. They should be in a place where they're hearing the Word of God. But if they're saved, they are a member of the kingdom of God, because it's a spiritual kingdom. All born-again believers are a member of the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of heaven, that will come when the Lord Jesus sets his kingdom up here on earth. He brings heaven down here, and he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. So that's the kingdom of heaven. I believe here this is speaking of the kingdom of heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. I think it's talking about the literal kingdom that'll be down here up on earth when the Lord Jesus rules and reigns for 1,000 years. And so then we come down to the next, and that is, our kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And I believe that that statement there should be the desire of every believer, that God's will take place, but it will not take place fully until the Lord Jesus is here and he rules and reigns for 1,000 years. Then that will become fully taken care of. And so then the next in the scripture here, give us this day our daily bread. That is talking about our physical needs. And so we need to ask him for our physical needs. Now, when you just recite this automatically, you do not take time to realize, you know, our Father, do you realize again who he is? What he has spoken into existence, the world. He, you know, we hear all this nonsense about global warming and all the things that the world is all coming to pieces, and you know, this country over here has got nuclear warheads, and so this country over here, and boy, if they come together, why, they're going to annihilate the earth. No. No. We've got 7 years of tribulation to come whenever Jesus decides to come and take us from here. And if man believes that we are doing something that's destroying, we should be good caretakers of this land. And we are. But what we are doing is not changing God's universe. And so you find that they are worshiping the land and the universe, and they are not worshiping God, those that follow that. So we need to see. You know, we can call them tree huggers. We can call them greeny weenies. They got all kinds of names that they're identified as. We need to be identified as a believer in Jesus Christ and know that God is in control. He is in control. He is going to give you what you need today. Give us our this day our daily bread. We are not to worry. We are not to fret. We are to enjoy that. So when we lift up our God, we understand that He is holy. We understand that His kingdom is coming, and we understand that this is the kingdom of God right now. We understand those things because we've studied the Word of God. But we need to pray in such a manner. And it's not something that takes 15 seconds to read. It's something that takes an hour or hours to enjoy as we come down through. God says, here is a list. Here is things that you need to acknowledge, but make it personal. The reason that this prayer is recited in the manner it is because most folks do not know the Lord Jesus personally. We should know the Lord Jesus personally. We've got to come by faith to Him, invite Him into our hearts. Then does all the list that's here become important and become personalized? You speak to your Father in a new way the day that you're born again. You speak to your Father, which you understand and know without question that He's in His home in heaven. You speak to your Father and lift Him up. Hallowed be Thy name. Holy is Thy name. And then Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth. We desire that people are saved and the will of God is brought forward. That's what we want. That's what we desire. And then give us this day our daily bread. Father, You're the only one that can meet our needs. You know, many of the fields are planted. Many of the fields, the corn's coming up, the beans are coming up, the wheat is starting to green up and look good. And it just, but do you realize that if God did not will that to happen, I don't care how much knowledge and wisdom that man has, that seed is not going to grow. It's not going to do it. Do we realize that? We plant it, it means it's going to grow. You put a plant of tomatoes out, or you put a plant of anything out, if you take care of it, it's going to grow. Spray it so the bugs don't get it. You give it a little fertilizer. You give it the water it needs. You care for it. You love it. You watch it produce. So it's going to produce fruit. Not if God doesn't will it. We think we have all the control, and we take care of everything. We don't. Understand that. The next here is forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, you could place that as you owe money to somebody. That word debts there is trespasses and sins. It means offenses against God. That's what that word means. Debts. Debts. We have violated the law, so we are exposed to the penalty of law. Now, we're born again. We're saved. Jesus took all of our sin away. So what is this talking about here? We've got to keep this in perspective of the time. Jesus had not went to the cross yet. So some of this pertains to the Jewish laws and the Jewish ways. We can apply it to ourselves, but to ourselves, it becomes not a penalty of sin that separates us from God. It does separate us from His fellowship, but not from our God, because our sins are forgiven. But realize that they were still under the law when Jesus spoke this. Jesus had not went to the cross. People were saved the same way as they are today. The Holy Spirit convicted their hearts, showed them they were lost, and they had to repent and trust in the coming Messiah. We do the same. Holy Spirit convicts our hearts, shows us we're lost, shows us we need a Savior, and we look back to the Lord Jesus that's been to the cross. Salvation has never changed. But they were still bound to the law at this time. And so when it speaks of this, forgive us our debts, our trespasses, our sins, remember what the Jews had to do. They had to bring sacrifices and offerings every year. The high priest took the blood into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement every year. It had to be renewed every year until the Lord Jesus went to the cross and finished that work. So we need to understand and realize that. And so here it speaks of the debts as forgive our debtors. And then, we go on to the last half of that, as we forgive our debtors. Again, it's not ones that owe us money. It's talking about those that have wronged us. Those that have done things to us, we need to forgive them. And how many times do you have to forgive someone? The question was asked, do I have to give them seven times? Seven times. That ought to be enough to forgive them seven times. But Jesus' response was 70 times seven. In other words, I forgave you all of your sin, Jesus said. You need to forgive them. You need to forgive them. Jesus forgave us. Jesus gave us the Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit down. We possess his love, his power, his joy. For the first time, we truly, as a believer, have the power to forgive. So do as Jesus. Forgive them. Forgive them. And so, sometimes that's very difficult. But if you want wonderful fellowship with the Lord, forgive Him. God's a just God. God makes it right. We don't have to worry about all those things. We never have to get even. God takes care of it. God always takes care of it. Don't worry about it. And then next is, lead us not into temptation. Keep us, Father, safe. Keep us walking down a path that is pleasing unto You. And help us, Father, each and every day. Deliver us from evil. And that is clearly the evil one. It's not keep us away from sin, but keep us, the author of sin, the devil. keep us away from him, deliver us from him. And then the next one, the last part of that is, for thine is the kingdom and the power. And that just means thine is the reign and the rule. So we begin with honoring him. We end with honoring him and putting in his perfect place. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We need to acknowledge that. So when you come through this prayer here, God is worthy of all prayer and all honor and all glory. So we need to take this text and say, Lord, please teach me how to pray. And Lord, give me the opportunity to pray. We find ourselves so busy in this world today that we maybe get a little bit of studying in, but we get very little prayer time in. And so, Lord, please give me the opportunity to pray. And then we need to thank the Lord continually for John chapter 17, because that's where he intercedes for us. That is actually the Lord's Prayer, and that's a glorious prayer. And so, Father, thank you. Thank you for interceding for me. And it all is based and all comes to the point of by and only through the blood of the Lord Jesus. It starts at the brazen altar, but do you remember where the coals come from that feed the incense altar, the prayer altar? They come from the brazen altar out front. So everything has a part of the precious blood and the sacrifice. We have nothing unless we have come to the brazen altar, to the cross of Calvary. Then we have the opportunity for the cleansing. Then we have the opportunity for the feeding. Then we have the opportunity to lift up our prayers unto our God. And that's the only time that we're really prepared. Because any other time, we're just reciting something where it doesn't come from the heart. And we need to see that when we pray to God, that we have given it thought and fellowship and desire, that he hears us because we want his will to be done, not ours, his will. Now, we're right at the veil. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was crucified, has taken the place of that veil. And so our prayers go right to God the Father. And so next week we're going to be dealing with the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. We have finally gotten ourselves to where we are speaking and fellowshipping with God. The whole purpose of this tabernacle was that God could meet with man and man could meet with God. That's the whole purpose of this tabernacle. The whole purpose of this building. That's the purpose that we're here. So that we learn how to fellowship with our God. That we can enjoy his presence and he can enjoy ours. That we can grow each day closer and closer to him. Just remember that the person that is not saved, the unregenerate man, his eyes are not open, his ears cannot hear, his heart cannot feel the presence of God. One thing that person needs is the precious blood of Jesus. And he may have a moral place in his heart and his mind for the Lord Jesus as he sits in church. But until you come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him, you have nothing. Nothing. So please, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, accept him today. Don't tarry. Don't wait one more day. Jesus is the only way. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity today to come. Just help the folks to take each part of this text. It's a beautiful, beautiful scripture. Look at each and every part of it and apply every part to our own lives, to our own heart, to the need of the day, to the need that we're praying for a friend or a family member. Use it, Father, but don't just recite it. Make it personal as the relationship that we have with you. This is the same. It needs to be personal. Please, dear Lord, speak to our hearts. Grow our fellowship with you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.